What if Pierce Brosnan returned for Casino Royale? Well, he almost did, and it would have been directed by Quentin Tarantino, set in the 1960s, and shot in black and white. So let's dive in and find out why it was never made, and also what could have been Casino Royale. Before we dive in, a quick shout out to this video's sponsor, Private Internet Access. Watching any major streaming service without a virtual private network, or VPN for short, is like going to a theme park with countless exciting rides but being restricted to only a few based on your ticket type. And that's because even though streaming services have extensive catalogs, different content is available in different regions around the world. Private Internet Access, however, helps you overcome these restrictions by giving you the option to change your IP address to one from 91 countries in all 50 US states, allowing you to gain access to content that's only available in those locations. And that's one of the main things I use it for, as I need to watch a lot of movies in order to write and research my videos. However, not every movie is available in my region. For example, if I had to make a video on any of Stanley Kubrick's films, they're not currently available on Netflix where I live. That's why I use private internet access to change my IP location so I can watch them. A VPN, though, isn't just about streaming. It's also essential for security. That's why private internet access hides your IP address and encrypts your internet connection, helping you to protect your personal data and shield your digital life from the eyes of those that are looking to exploit your private information. Not only is private internet access available on all platforms, but you can also install it to protect unlimited devices with just one subscription. And when it comes to transparency and trust, private internet access stands out as the leading VPN provider globally, with over 30 million downloads. They uphold a strict no logs policy and never record or store user data, which has been consistently verified in court and through a third-party audit by Deloitte. So elevate your online experience with our exclusive Bullets and Blockbusters link and snag an amazing 83% discount on private internet access for only $2.03 a month. Plus, enjoy an additional 4 months absolutely free. With a 30-day money-back guarantee and 24/7 customer support, it's also completely risk-free. So don't miss out. Sign up now. In 1954, flamboyant Russian actor and director Grigory Ratov was in Cairo, Egypt, acting and directing in a film titled Abdullah the Great. Allegedly, with the Italian producers unable to get into the country, Ratov stole 10,000 pounds in cash and hoped to escape at the Cairo airport, where he prayed to God, saying, "If I get through with the cash, I'm going to buy a Time magazine when we land and use the money to purchase the film rights to the first book I read a review of." That book turned out to be Casino Royale, which also happened to be writer Ian Fleming's first James Bond novel. However, Ratov thought Bond was stupid and the character unbelievable, which is why he wanted to make him a woman, rename him to Jane, and cast actress Susan Hayward. Despite Ratov's efforts, he was never able to secure the funding necessary to produce the film before he passed away in 1960. After his death, his agent, Charles Feldman, purchased the film rights from Ratov's widow. During this time, Fleming sold the rights to the rest of his James Bond novels, excluding Thunderball, to producer Harry Saltzman, who together with Cubby Broccoli, who actually got to start working for Feldman, would end up releasing Dr. No in 1962. Feldman, who had been struggling to get Casino Royale made, would then approach his former employee, Cubby Broccoli, and his partner, Harry Saltzman, about producing Casino Royale together, but they balked at his proposed profit split and refused to make the film until they finished on Her Majesty's Secret Service sometime in the late 60s, which was too long a wait for Feldman to recoup his investment. Broccoli, now a major producer, told Feldman that while he liked him, he couldn't work for him again, and his former boss was going to have to go make the picture on his own. And that's exactly what Feldman would do, but his take on Casino Royale would end up being a spoof. And while it's claimed that the decision to turn it into a comedy was made to differentiate it from the Connery films, it's rumored that Feldman made it a parody out of spite, hoping to hurt the brand by mocking it in response to Broccoli refusing Feldman's terms. Obviously, that wouldn't happen, and in the mid-90s, Quentin Tarantino would try to acquire the rights to Casino Royale for himself, intending to make the movie as his follow-up to Pulp Fiction. However, he'd be unsuccessful, as the film rights would finally be reunited with the official Bond franchise right in the middle of Pierce Brosnan's run of films. Brosnan had originally signed on for four pictures, but after The Outlandish, Die Another Day, questions arose as to where the franchise should and could go from there, as many felt the film had pushed the boundaries of believability too far, featuring an ice palace and invisible car. In response to this, the producers began working on a fairly down-to-earth spin-off film for Halle Berry's Jinx. Meanwhile, Quentin Tarantino, hot off of Kill Bill, announced that he finally wanted to remake Casino Royale, which many up to that point had called unfilmable, since it centers around a baccarat game, which was fined by Tarantino, who was drawn to making a small-scale film as a response to the over-the-top Die Another Day. It's important to note that up until Casino Royale, all of the James Bond films existed in the same continuity, regardless of the fact that five different actors had played them, and the films had that stretched over a 40-year period. And while many thought that Tarantino wanted to make a standalone film, he actually wanted to set his film in the 1960s, right after the events of On Her Majesty's Secret Service, feeling Bond should be vulnerable and in mourning when he falls in love with Vesper Lynd. Tarantino really wanted his movie to be a faithful adaptation of the book, complete with actual narration. He also wanted to film it in black and white. And while the final film is a pretty faithful adaptation of the novel, there are several key differences, which wouldn't have been present in Tarantino's version. Most notably, Tarantino's version wouldn't have centered around a poker game, but a baccarat game, which is not only what's played in the novel, but also what Brosnan's Bond plays in GoldenEye. Additionally, Le Chiff would have invested and lost money in a chain of French brothels, which closed following the Marth Richard Law. As a result, Tarantino's movie would have had no airport sequence or shorting of airline stocks, which was inspired by a book the writers read about a sell-off of airline stocks the day before 9/11. There also wouldn't have been the iconic parkour sequence, which was inspired by the sport's rising popularity, and served to introduce us to Craig's version of the character, as he catches up to a far more skilled opponent. However, even though Tarantino's version wouldn't have had these large-scale action scenes, it would have been rife with the tension and suspense he excels at, like the opening to Inglourious Basterds or even the basement scene, which would have made Tarantino's Casino Royale a gripping spy thriller. The ending also would have been different, as Vesper commits suicide in the book and leaves Bond a note, explaining that she could never get a fresh start without putting him in constant danger. And just like the book, the last scene in Tarantino's version would have seen Bond reporting on Vesper's duplicity to his superiors, as he tells them that the bitch is dead. Tarantino's version also would have featured Pierce Brosnan as Bond, as Tarantino was a huge fan, reportedly banging his fists on the table over drinks with Brosnan, telling the actor that he's the best James Bond. Allegedly, rounding out the cast would have been Uma Thurman as Vesper and Sam Jackson as Felix Leiter. However, there was just one problem. Brosnan's contract had expired. Still, according to Brosnan, the producers asked him if he'd be willing to return for one more film when Die Another Day was released, which he agreed to. And after that film's campier tone, Brosnan would say on returning that he felt he had unfinished business, as he was looking forward to making a grittier and edgier follow-up to return the franchise to its roots. After meeting with Tarantino and taking his idea back to the producers, they passed. And while they've never publicly disclosed why, it's likely they did for two reasons. First, Tarantino has creative control on all of his films, and for a franchise as big as Bond, that wasn't going to fly. And two, a big part of financing these films comes from product placement for brands like Omega, BMW, Heineken, and Aston Martin. Making the film a period piece set in the 60s would make it impossible to feature new products from most of these brands. Having said that, while producers didn't move forward with Tarantino, they did decide to move forward with adapting Casino Royale, but set in the present day. After finding out, Tarantino was furious, claiming the producers had deemed the novel unfilmable until he proposed making it. He then asserted that they backed out because they were afraid he would make it too good and F up the rest of the series. Brosnan echoed this sentiment, suggesting that Tarantino's intention to give the film an edge likely frightened the producers. Regardless, as much as Die Another Day was criticized, it was still a massive hit, which meant bringing back Brosnan was a no-brainer. But again, there was a problem. Being the first Bond novel, Casino Royale is basically Bond's origin story. Then since it ends with the death of Vesper, the woman he loves, it results in Bond shutting himself off emotionally from women moving forward, apart from Tracy, as he starts to treat them more like fleeting pleasures. However, Brosnan's Bond already treated women like this, and this being his fifth outing, the writing duo of Purvis and Wade had to figure out how to make the novel's character arc work for Brosnan's version of Bond. As a result, Brosnan's Bond at the start of Casino Royale would have been the same Bond from the last few films, who never lets women get close. Over the course of the film, we'd learn that the reason for this emotional isolation is because Bond is an orphan who always had to fend for himself and could never rely on others. Vesper also would have been an orphan in this version, and during Bond's relationship with her, he would have got insight into a normal life, which is something he has never really known. Bond then would have realized that in order to be with Vesper and live a normal life, he would have had to give up his career, which he is prepared to do for a chance of happiness. However, after he learns of Vesper's betrayal, he realizes that there's a cause worth fighting for and donating your life to, because in those moments of happiness with Vesper, he tasted real life, making him fully understand and value the world he protects. So why wasn't the movie made with Brosnan? Apparently, the actor had recently changed agents, who was giving the producers problems during negotiations. Although Brosnan denounced the preposterous reports that he was asking for $30 or $40 million, he does admit that there was a salary that he did want that wasn't out of the ballpark for actors that have starred in similar action blockbusters. After getting a call telling him that the producers were looking to go in a new direction, Brosnan would say, "I was terribly upset," and for all of that to go down in one phone call was highly disappointing. disappointing. After Brosnan was dropped, the Jinx spin-off film was also, as plans moved ahead to break from the Bond series continuity and completely reboot the franchise, aiming to do for Bond what Batman Begins had done for Batman. To direct it, the producers once again turned to Martin Campbell, after he successfully relaunched the franchise with GoldenEye a decade earlier. After reading Purvis and Wade's script, though, he didn't like it, feeling Bond was his usual self and that the script was just filled with tons of action scenes. To rewrite it, he turned to Paul Haggis, hot off of winning an Oscar for Crash, who he asked to make the script grittier, more realistic, and to make Bond a fundamentally more interesting character. The first thing Haggis changed was the ending. Originally, the film ended with a videotape confession from Vesper, after Bond finds her dead on the bed. Then Bond would have spotted a man we never saw before running across St. Mark's Square to collect the money from the bank, prompting Bond to go after him before the film concludes with Bond battling the bad guys in the sinking house. Haggis changed this so that Vesper is in the house, and Bond chases after her to try and kill her before changing his mind to try and save her. His inability to do so would come to haunt him forever, resulting in him becoming a cold-blooded killer. To play Bond, Martin Campbell and the producers narrowed their choices down to 6 or 7 actors. Hugh Jackman was approached early on to gauge his interest, but after the over-the-top Die Another Day, he was worried about the direction of the franchise, and also having to juggle playing Bond and Wolverine, so turned it down. After seeing the final film, he'd simply say, "Oops." And while other actors were considered, like Carl Urban, the only other actor who was seriously in contention with Daniel Craig was Henry Cavill, who Campbell would say was really good but too young at the time. However, Campbell felt the actor would eventually be a big talent regardless. And while Daniel Craig would win the role, his casting wasn't without controversy, as several critics felt he didn't fit the tall, dark, handsome, and charismatic image of Bond fans have come to know, especially with his blonde hair, which he refused to dye brown for the role. Eventually, critics would be won over, as Casino Royale would go down as one of the all-time great Bond films. Still, it's interesting to wonder what a Quentin Tarantino version of the film would have been like, starring Pierce Brosnan. But alas, it wasn't meant to be, as once Tarantino heard that the producers weren't going to be bringing back Brosnan, that killed Tarantino's interest in the project. Thanks for watching, everybody, and don't forget to like and subscribe to Bullets and Blockbusters for more great content.